Good morning. Our Bible reading this morning is from Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, your glory and majesty are manifest in all the universe. Thank you for the modern technology that allows us to see the wonders of that universe, its richness and diversity. Thank you for the beauty that you have given for us to enjoy and for your abundant provision out of that creation that meets our daily needs. Help us to be good stewards of all this. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to earth. Thank you for your death and resurrection. Through them, we have our hope of eternal life. We pray for James as he brings your word to us this morning. Open our hearts and minds to receive your teaching, that we would learn more of you and grow to be more like Jesus. And in all that we say and do, you would be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 19 from verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its worth.
Good morning, everyone. Great to see you guys. Just so you know, Chris Pine was scheduled to be giving this sermon. He's put a lot of work into it. It's really, really great stuff. But yesterday, he had a family member confirmed positive for COVID, so he couldn't be here this morning. And so I'm stepping in to take Chris's really great work, and hopefully I'll do that justice, but more importantly, give honour to the Lord as we go through. We're looking today at the topic of creation. As part of this mini-series that we're doing over this Easter holiday break, we're going to look at creation, sin, death, and life. It's kind of the big picture gospel story of the scriptures. So we're not sort of looking at Genesis specifically this morning. We're looking at what the Bible says about creation on the whole. And so we're going to be getting a real sense of what it is that we're meant to understand about this world that it is that God has created, our place in it, and we also will learn more about God, our Father, as we go too. So lots of really cool stuff to do. Now, as an exercise to start off with, kids, I am so excited to have you guys in the room here with us this morning. Kids, are you just so excited to be in big church? I feel that. But kids, you and the grown-ups can do a little exercise together right now. I just want you to close your eyes and imagine your favourite part of creation. Maybe it's a scene, maybe it's a place, maybe it's a creature. But I just want you to take a moment and imagine your favourite thing in creation. Have you got it? All right. This is what I want you to do, kids. As everyone opens their eyes. Kids, I want you to do your best drawing on the worksheet that you've been given of that thing that you just imagined. And if we've got a couple of brave people at the end of the sermon, we might get a couple of you guys to come up and show us your creation of God's creation. Okay? So there's some space there on the worksheet, so let you guys do that, all right? Again, if you haven't got a worksheet, you can grab one at the back. That's cool. But I wonder what you guys, grown-ups included here, pictured. Did you picture a beautiful mountain lake scene? Maybe a sunset over water. or a magnificent tiger. Maybe something smaller, like a little part of creation. So this photo is from Alka Hingorani, one of our members here. Alka, I thought I saw you somewhere. Where are you? Yeah, there you are. This is one of Alka's photos. Chris tells me that she's got lots and lots, and this was one that she sent in. But this is a Banksia up close. See the detail of God's creation. Or we can go even smaller still. So some of you might know Daniel Scott, another one of our church members. This is a microscopic view of some water from the Brisbane River and the life that's in there. Some of you might be thinking that's why we don't swim in the Brisbane River, but it's still this beautiful little picture of how, even on a microscopic level, God's creation has all this detail and beauty to it. And this is the thing, all of creation, the stars in the sky, all of it is actually something that Scripture tells us speaks to us. It gives us an understanding about the fact that there is someone behind this creation who has actually made it. So it says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. There's something in the beauty and wonder, whether it's the smallest detail on a microscopic level of creation or the grandeur of the stars in the sky, that speaks to us of the fact that there is a creator behind all these things. That's what Scripture itself tells us. It says in Romans chapter 1, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. We learn something about God just from looking at this wonderful world that he has made us and put us into. But it's interesting, we learn what it says there, his eternal power and divine nature. We get something of the might of God, but not the specifics of who this creator is. But that's why it's such good news that we've got God's word, his Bible, his scriptures, that help us to understand a little bit more about this creator. And so one of the first things that we see in scripture and that comes through most clearly for us is that when we think about creation, what the Bible teaches us about it is that it's by God who is three in one. And we see it in the very opening verses of Genesis. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God the Father was there in the beginning, creating all things. And in verse 2, it says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. It's this amazing thing. The doctrine of the Trinity, the idea of Father, Son, and Spirit, three in one, all different persons, and yet all one God, didn't happen. We didn't figure that out as the church until, you know, centuries after Jesus came. But in the very opening verses of Scripture, we see a picture of God, God's Spirit, and we have God speaking his word when he said, let there be light, and there was light. Everything that God has made just through his spoken word. It's a little bit like last week how we looked at that story of John where Jesus heals 32 kilometers away with just a word. That creative power of God has always been there from the very beginning. And in the New Testament, after Jesus comes, we get even more detail about this word of God. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. These words should sound familiar. We're looking at the Gospel of John right now, the story of Jesus coming into the world, how he came to give us eternal life. But at the very start of John's gospel, he declares that the word was with God in the beginning and that through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Everything, space, time, the spiritual world, the physical world, all of it was created by God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, through God's word. So we've got creation is a work of God, the three in one. It was by his word, and it was also done. Kids, are you ready to learn another language? This is very exciting stuff. Anytime that you have this opportunity, you've got to lay hold of it, okay? It's ex nihilo. Any really profoundly, you know, multilingual children out there know what language that is? Anyone to guess? Latin! Yes, it's Latin! Well done! Good job. That's why we're going to have you up here to read later. Latin, that's right. It's Latin. Anybody know what it means? From nothing or out of nothing. Yes, okay? So ex nihilo means from nothing or out of nothing. God made all things out of nothing. Listen again to John 1. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Okay, just work it through slow. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. It's not the case that God, in eternity, there was like some formless stuff out there floating, and God took it and then just did something with it. No, if it's created, God spoke it into being. It did not exist until God created it. There would be nothing if not for God deciding to create something outside of himself. He has created from nothing all things. It's really important. We're not a part of God. Like, we're you know, there's some philosophies of life out there that sort of say everything is God. We're all just part of his being and that sort of stuff. That's not the Bible picture. The Bible picture is there was God who then creates something outside of and separate to himself where previously there was nothing. Mind-bending stuff, but that's the painting that Scripture gives to us as to how we all exist. That's why it's so important for us to understand we're completely dependent on God. Every breath that we breathe is a gift from the one who had complete freedom to just be perfect in himself, but instead chose to create something outside of himself. So, creation is by God, three in one. It's by his word, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's ex nihilo, it's out of nothing. And the other thing that just rings true as we read those opening accounts of creation in Genesis 1 and 2, creation is good. Five times it says in the opening chapter, and God saw that it was good as he's going through the days of creation, declaring it all the way that what he had made was good. And then when he's finished his whole work of creation, it says God saw all that he had made and it was very good. Not perfect. That's an interesting one. The biblical idea of perfection is completeness or maturity. And even though everything was very good in God's world, it wasn't finished. There was still a sense that things were to grow. There was to be an expansion. There was still a mission that was to be completed. It wasn't finished. It hadn't reached the Greek word as telos, its end. How do we know this? Well, it's because people were given a mission in creation, weren't they? It says God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God had made everything, but then he gave this gift to people, to us, in a sense, to finish that work of creation, to take it towards the end that he had intended for it, to see the whole earth filled. Not creating out of nothing, like God had done, but still expanding this work of creation that he had begun. You see that? So creation was very good, set up from the start with a very good beginning to achieve everything that God intended for it to be. And it's good for us to think about that, to understand the whole picture, because we also have a special place in this creation. And to help us understand this, we're going to have another Bible reading to look at a different part of the Scriptures. And Anna is going to come, and she is going to read this one for us. Give Anna a hand to help encourage her. So this is Psalm 8 that Anna's going to read for us.
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens through the praise of children and infants. You have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is mankind, but you are mindful of them, human beings, that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wind, wild, the birds of the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Awesome. Thank you, Anna. That was great. Well done. So you can see here in Psalm 8, we get this big picture of all things. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. It's a picture here of when we look at the world around us and it is so vast and it is so big, and our understanding of how big it is has only gotten greater and greater as our technology has developed, as science has developed, as we're able to see further and further away to understand just how big this creation is. How much more does this question ring true that in all the vastness of what God has done, that he cares for the likes of you and me? It's not even the equivalent of me caring for an ant. It's not even the equivalent of me caring for microscopic life in the Brisbane waters that none of us want to touch. It's still even beyond that. That's how vast the world is, and yet he does indeed care for us, but it's more than that even. On one level, we have to understand how small we are in creation, but another thing is that we need to understand how important and how dignified we are in creation. It says, continuing on in Psalm 8, you have made them a little lower, people. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. That's us that he's talking about here. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea, all these things have been put under our feet. There's this picture that we're given in Scripture of how we sit at the pinnacle of creation. You go through the days of creation and we see light and darkness. We see lights being put in the sky to govern what's taking place. We see waters and earth. We see plants coming forth. We see animals. And the very pinnacle of that is the creation on the sixth day of man and woman together. That's what sits at the top. We are the ones who bear the image of God to be his representatives and rulers in this world. That's the place of dignity that we have been given. And it's really important you understand this, because you'll hear stuff again around the place from time to time that sort of says, well, we're no different from the animals. We're the same. We share the, 99.96% of our genetic material with apes and all that sort of stuff. That's true. But that physical similarity shouldn't confuse us to the fact that people have been given this special dignified place in relationship with God, but also being responsible for the world around us. Again, it's there in Genesis, right? It's there at the beginning. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. This is the glory and dignity that has been given to all of us to be God's representatives and rulers in this world. But the tragedy, of course, is what we've done with it. We know the one who has created the vastness of space, of galaxies, of universes, of all things, who stands above it, who is so far beyond us that the whole earth declares the heavens and the glory. That is the one who we are meant to image and represent. And what have we done? We've taken created things and worshiped them. As it says there in Romans, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. When we really understand creation and what it is and what it reveals to us about who God is and our place in this world, how utterly foolish does it make us that we would swap all of this for this? That's what we do when we stop worshiping the Creator of this world and worship created things instead. Now, we're going to have more to say about sin and death over the coming weeks, but we need to understand when we look at this world around us how it points to the glory of God, but also should convict us of our foolishness in sin. That we would turn from all that and instead turn towards what we can't even see. That's how small it is compared to the greatness of God. Now, there is hope for all of us in Christ. And again, we're going to talk about that more as we come up towards Easter. But one specific thing that we want to think about is, again, if it's extraordinary for us in our foolishness that we would turn from all of the grandeur of God and come down to this tiny thing, how much more miraculous is it that God the Son, through whom all things were made, would leave the Father's side and come into this world and become like one of us in order to rescue and redeem it. When we talk about Jesus Christ incarnate, it's more Latin, incarnate, in the flesh, we're not just talking about a spirit floating that all of a sudden takes on human form. We're talking about the Creator of all things in all of his magnitude, all of a sudden coming down and becoming like one of us in order to rescue and redeem us. In that, again, we have Psalm 8, right? The vastness of all of creation and yet the dignity and honor and glory given to us. And we're going to think more and more about what his resurrection means for how we're to live in this world and be part of the new creation that he's going to be bringing in that's coming at Easter. Bring your friends. And so the rightful position for us in light of all that Jesus has done is to be stewards over this world, to be rulers and responsible for this kingdom, not declaring our own glory, not lowering ourselves lower than what we should be, but rightfully placing ourselves on our knees before God, willing to take care of this world that he has given us, to worship him in it, and yet at the same time do it knowing that we are but stewards of one who is so much greater than ourselves. And there's two ways that we're going to do that, or coming out of these ideas that we're talking about, to think about ways that we can both worship God and care for his creation. So first off, we can worship God in our own acts of creativity all the time. Colossians 3:23, one of my favorite verses, whatever you do, do it as though working for the Lord, not for men, for you know that you will receive an eternal reward from your Father. That all things in this world we can do for God's glory. And that is especially true when we create ourselves. When we make things, great works of art, and we have that creative stuff. If we understand that we do these mini acts of creation as an act of worship towards the great creation, man, that's a special thing. This is a band called Half Alive, which turns out I did know a couple of their songs, but when Chris asked me yesterday, like, have you heard of these guys? I was like, no. And so I did whatever I do when I'm about to reference a pop culture thing on Sunday morning. I learn everything about them on Saturday. So I can do it with credibility, right? But these guys are cool. They're a group of Christian guys, formed a band together, had some real success. They're well known for their awesome cinematography in their videos, as well as their great dance moves and all that sort of stuff. Kids and I were watching some of them this morning. Very cool stuff. But they've got this one song that I'm just going to play a snippet of called Creature, where the lead singer Josh is singing and reflecting on what it means to be a creature before God. So we're going to click onto the next slide and hope the video works. No, I made a clay that's worn, blinded by imperfect form, but I will trust the artist molding me. Oh, in the room is growing down, no
from within. The potentials ever.
So, always tough to hear words and lyrics for the first time when you listen to a song, but this is part of the words that we're hearing there. I know I'm made of clay that's worn, blighted by imperfect form, but I will trust the artist molding me. I am creation, both haunted and holy, made in glory. Even the depths of the night cannot blind me when you guide me, creature only. It's a great understanding of what it means to just be a creature before God and to be molded by the great artist. But you know what's so cool? He's singing these songs in the midst of something that he and his friends and the people they've worked with, where they've created something beautiful themselves. It sounds beautiful, looks amazing. There's physical movement in there. There's all sorts of stuff that they're doing. But that's a song in some ways that's obviously about the creator, but and there's a worship in that, in speaking those words. But there's also an act of worship in being like him, in creating something beautiful. We've got lots of artists and creative people in this place, and that's awesome. But some of you, you might be here thinking, well, you know, I'm not really a creative person. You know, you look at a blank page and you're like, yeah, I got nothing. But you know what? If you're a tradie, working with your hands, building buildings, building dwellings, making it possible for people to get things like water, have sanitation, to have clean spaces for us to live in, you are doing a work of bringing order to chaos in the midst of this broken, sinful world. If you're a healthcare worker, restoring people to health, helping physical bodies operate the way that God intended them to be, you're an agent of creation, helping to remake what God originally intended for us, healthiness and wholeness. If you're at home, cooking meals, creating a family culture, helping to raise people, to be good forces for good in the name of Jesus in this world, that's an act of creation. If you're an engineer building bridges, making it possible, you know, for buildings to rise up and all that sort of stuff. And again, it's so much better if we take a community view of this. Like, the artist is not just the individual person with some paint and a canvas. Like, if you were there and you looked at, you know, the best, most beautiful skyscrapers with all their awesome architecture, and one guy was like, I made that, we'd be like, it was a huge team of people all working together in that creative process. When we build this church community, this is an act of creation. It's not just that, but it's not less than that either. We're all able to be creative for God's glory. If you're a scientist, figuring out how God's world works, giving us greater understanding so we can do more with it, that is an act of creation. Now, I haven't said much today about the relationship between creation and science, and that's stuff that people think about a lot when we talk about creation and that sort of thing. That's not really the focus of today. But if you've got some questions around that, there was a podcast that came out just this last week. So Undeceptions with John Dixon, great podcast in general to check out, but he just did a whole episode on this, looking at the myth that science and religion are in some sort of fight or combative stance towards one another. I like it. He's a history guy. I'm a history guy. So he takes like a sort of historical perspective looking at this idea. The truth is, science and faith have always gone together. And so I encourage you, if that's one of your big questions coming out of today, then that's a helpful resource for you to look at. So we can all be creative agents, and the last thing for us to think about today is this. We can all care for creation. So, we were called to go forth, to multiply, to fill the earth, to be God's representatives and God's rulers in this place. And that means taking care of the gift that he's given to us. Now, are you living in such a way where you really do treat this world that we live in as a gift from God that we need to care for? Recycling is an act of worship. Seeking to live in sustainable ways are acts of worship and love for all those around us and care for God's world. Because creation also, it says in Romans 8, is awaiting groaning for the remaking of this world. And so the way that we live in it environmentally matters on a deeply profound level. And I don't want to brush over the complicated, stuff with the politics of it and all that sort of thing. But for us, as people and as a community living in this place, we need to seek to care for this world that God has given us, and to preserve it and care for it and see it flourish as well. All right. So that's part one of this four-part series. We've learned that God is the creator who is three in one, that he's made this world out of nothing by his word, and that it's very good, and that we have a responsibility now as his creatures to be creative agents ourselves and to care for this world. And I'm going to pray that we do that. Father God, we thank you so much for this world that you've blessed us with. We thank you so much for the gift of creation. We thank you for every breath that we breathe, for every function of our body, for all the special and wonderful things that they can do. We thank you that you've given us this awesome responsibility that even though we are blown away by the vastness of your creation, at the same time, you've given us the dignity and honor of being your rulers and representatives in it. So please, Lord, as we seek to build the new community in this world, your church, help us to also remember the responsibility given to all of us to care for your world while we're in it, to proclaim the resurrection of Christ and the new life that we have in him, but at the same time, Lord, to care for this gift of creation that you have blessed us with. And we thank you that we can do this by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry, guys. Thank you so much. I did promise, and I've got to keep this promise, that we'd have some kids who wanted to show us their work of creation. So are there any kids who would like to be brave enough to come up front and show us? Come, can I see? Now, some of you might need to come and have a look. So can I have a look here? Is this a tiger?
Tasmanian tiger.
Tasmanian tiger. I had the tiger part correct. Note that. That is so good. We've got the stripes there. That's awesome. And what's this say?
Believe in God.
What an awesome line to put on that. Thank you so much, Sue. That's very good. All right, Daniel, buddy. Oh, now I know my son, and he has drawn his favorite part of creation, which is an avocado, because he loves to eat them. Deep, profound theological understanding. I'm proud of you, buddy. Yep. Anna, what do you got here? See? Oh, you've got the water with the grass and the landscape around it. That's awesome. I love that. I'm a lake guy more than an ocean guy, so that's awesome. I love that. There you go. That's good, Lily. Oh, okay. Lily, take your next level. So you've got some creation stuff here, but you've got a bridge going over the top of it. You've got music going here, relationship. Love it. Thanks, darling. Awesome. Shane, did you do something, bud? Come on, Shane. Look at this. Talk me through it, buddy. What have you got here? I can see the moon here, the trees, mountains, sun, all that sort of stuff. Fantastic. Great work, Shane. Thanks, guys. All right. Let's sing together.